Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Eric Walker, author of a new book called The Codist. The website for that is thecodistbook.com. Codist is C-O-D-I-S-T. Eric Walker, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Great to be with you.
And in a sentence or two, what is The Codist all about?
Well, The Codist is a biblical thriller. It takes place a Jewish man and a Tehran-born individual who plots to annihilate the Jews using weaponized DNA. It's all based on biblical truth, biblical fact, as well as a real plot that exists in the world today.
Huh. So, Joel Rosenberg, call your office, that kind of thing. No, I'm just kidding. But I assume you're familiar with Joel Rosenberg and his kind of thrillers.
Yeah. Yes, very, very familiar. Many people have compared this book to some of his works and have found it to be an exciting biblical thriller.
Okay, good. Tell us about your own personal background before we get into some of the meat of the book, or the backdrop of the book, if you will. Tell us about yourself, your faith journey.
Yeah, well, originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, raised in a traditional Jewish home, and at age 44, I came to faith in Jesus. And the calling on my life, I was a corporate executive, wound up going to seminary, becoming an ordained Messianic rabbi, then became an ordained minister, Baptist minister, and started a congregation in Birmingham, Alabama that grew to one of the largest Messianic congregations in the world.
Wow. Okay, let's go back to the conversion or the acceptance of Jesus as your Savior and Lord. What actually happened? I mean, that's quite a turning point. You have 44 years old, successful businessman, Jewish background. Tell us more details.
Well, I at an age of about 42, I began a spiritual quest. I started looking at my life and saying, you know, there's got to be more than this. Seven-bedroom home, wonderful opportunities all over the world, traveled, worked for in corporate America. And I began to explore and wanted to know more about God. That's one of the things that was missing in my Jewish life, was that I heard about the rabbis and what they had to say, but I was quite lacking on what did God have to say. And so I began that journey, and I had friends who would come to me and say, why don't you go to church with us? And I would say, well, I'm Jewish. And they would say, I'm sorry. And I'd say, well, what are you sorry for? Are you sorry that I'm Jewish? They said, no, we don't want to offend you. We love you. But in fact, Jerry, they were loving me to death. And ultimately, I wound up hearing about a Messianic synagogue in Atlanta and explored it. Went to hear, to meet, to see. They told me it was a Jewish work. They had a rabbi. And so I went on a Saturday morning. And I heard the gospel preached in what was a unique way, because it wasn't church speak. It was presented to me as the Lamb of God on Mount Moriah, the Lamb of God of Exodus chapter 12, and then the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it made sense to me, because, of course, in traditional Judaism, there is no way to take away sin. Sin is covered by the blood, but the idea of take away, of a permanent relationship with God, of a sin offering that was made on my behalf, that now that there is no temple in Jerusalem, that I could have and be in right standing and right relationship with God and be forgiven for my sins, was a life-changing, renewing experience that set me free. And I began a deep dive into the Bible, both the Old Testament and New Testament, in a way that made it so real, so interconnected. With my great Jewish foundation of growing up in synagogue and living a Jewish life, it made sense. It just made sense. And so the first time I heard the gospel, I said yes.
I'm curious, as far as your own particular background, did you ever hear Isaiah chapter 53? Did you ever hear Psalm 2, Psalm 22? Some of the messianic prophecies, Micah 5:2. Did you ever hear those things? I'm just curious.
No. No. You know, it's a question I'm asked quite a bit, Jerry, what happens in the synagogue today, and I was raised in a conservative synagogue, is the message is not really that much different today than it was then. It's a couple of it's out of the Torah, the weekly reading. You take a couple of verses out of that, and you weave a story to illustrate the lesson of that Torah portion. The dive into the prophets, into the Psalms, into the future prophecies is really not traditional Judaism. It's more of a if you want to learn about the Bible, you don't go to synagogue.
You're talking about the Old Testament, obviously, the Hebrew Bible. If you want to learn about the Hebrew Bible, you don't go to synagogue. That's a strange statement to me.
Well, it certainly is. You know, I went to classes, but when you go on Friday night or Saturday, the messaging is traditionally just out of the Torah portion reading. So if you want to take a class here or a class there, but for the general message of weaving a message about God's plan, about God's plan for you, it's usually an object lesson that's based on that particular Torah portion, because there's an annual reading cycle for the Torah. So I had never been, maybe it's done in other places, but in the synagogue that I was in Pittsburgh, the synagogue that I was in Atlanta, they were really no different.
All right, now your novel, The Codice, deals with radical Islam. So tell us about your interest in that as a Jewish believer in Jesus.
Well, as I began to take a look at the various challenges that are facing the world today, I wrote a book called Eitz Chaim, Lessons Learned from the Tree of Life, a Bible study on the Tree of Life. And as I began to explore that, I began to see that there was prophecy in the Garden of Eden, prophecy about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, prophecy, the talk about Ishmael and his descendants, Esau and his descendants, the birth of the Arab nations. And I began to look at the campaign of Armageddon and how things played out, and I began to realize that Islam really is centered in many ways on the first five books of the Bible, very much believing in Jesus as a prophet. And with that depth of understanding, their threat, their constant threat to annihilate the Jews. When we take a look at the priesthood and we take a look at what God has promised that the millennial reign will look like, with modern technology, we begin to realize that there is a genetic DNA marker that identifies who is a Levite, who is in the priesthood. And so I began to wonder and explore, and I read that Moses came down from talking with God. God told Moses to tell Aaron everything that he had discussed with him, and for Aaron to show Israel the miracles that God was going to perform to encourage Pharaoh to deliver the Jewish people. Most people forget that Aaron was the one who was first to throw the staff down and turn it into a snake. Aaron was the first one put his hand into his garment and take it out and have it leprous. That was not one of the miracles that that Moses performed before Pharaoh. And so I began to wonder, what was this about Aaron? You know, God didn't make Moses a promise that Moses would have someone in his lineage to serve in any capacity in the future. He made that promise to Aaron. And the priesthood was confirmed to Aaron. It was confirmed through Phinehas, his grandson, and it ended with Zadok. You know, Caiaphas was an appointee. Caiaphas was not in the bloodline. He was not in the Levitical line to be priest. He was appointed. He was an appointee. And I began to wonder what part the priesthood played, and if there was this way that you could identify the priesthood, what did that matter? And
well, can I stop you for a second? Can I stop you for a second? Are you saying Caiaphas was not necessarily a Levite?
Well, I don't know what Caiaphas is supposed to be.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just curious. All right. Go on. Right. I didn't mean to stop you. Your thought.
Right. But he was an appointee. We don't see him in the lineage. As a matter of fact, we know that because when we look at the millennial temple, the priesthood will be the sons of Zadok. It's very specifically referring to the sons of Zadok. If Caiaphas would have been the high priest and in the lineage, it would have been the sons of Caiaphas. But the lineage of Aaron stopped, as far as the priesthood was concerned, was Zadok. That's the last known in the lineage of the high priest, of the priesthood, was Zadok. And so now there's this genetic marker that could identify who the Levites are. There's no other markers for any other of the tribes of Judaism, just the Levites. So I began to realize that when I look at Matthew 23:37, and Jesus declares, as he's getting ready to ascend the Mount of Olives, as he's leaving on that Palm Sunday, on that 10th day of the first month, and he's ascending, he looks over Jerusalem, and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets and reject the one sent to you. Like a mother hen longs to gather her chicks, how I long to gather you back to me, but you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And I began to wonder about that and study about that. Well, just that morning, the people of Jerusalem lined up as he entered the eastern gate and cried out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it puzzled me. It made me wonder. Did they have to say it again? Was it the same people? Maybe he wasn't talking to them. And I began to dig and explore, and it challenged me. It challenged my intellect. It challenged my spirit. And the more I dug into this, the more I began to realize he wasn't talking to just the people of Jerusalem. He was talking to the leadership of Jerusalem. He was talking to the Sanhedrin that had rejected him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law.
Right, but not the people per se. All right,
not the people per se.
Yeah, and let me just say this. We're talking with Eric Walker, who's written a book called The Codist, and the website for that is thecodistbook.com. Eric, we have about 2.5 minutes left. Go ahead and tell us about the book itself and, sell us the sizzle, if you will.
Okay. Well, Jerry, the plot is this. Two young boys meet together, a Jew and a Tehran-born individual whose father is in the diplomatic corps. The son learns Iranian son learns of these family links, the Aaronson family's link to the Levitical priesthood. They look at this legend of this arrangement, of this importance of their role in Israel. And this Tehran young man becomes a world-renowned geneticist, whose assignment it is to develop a weaponized DNA specifically to target the Levitical priests. For if you take them out, you take out the very body that will call for the return of Jesus, the leadership, the head. Today in Israel, the Sanhedrin is reforming in an underground movement. The leadership is being formed. We look at nuclear Iran, but there's a more insidious plot that's unfolding, a more insidious reality through technology and science. And we know factually that weaponized DNA is one of the largest ongoing issues in the world today. As science begins to develop, that I can take a specific DNA marker for any ethnicity, for any physical anomaly, and I can generate and build a virus that could be introduced into the air and introduced into the water that would only affect those people. Imagine people dying and not knowing that it's similar to somebody dying in New York, somebody dying in Philadelphia, somebody dying over here and over there, because it's introduced into the system. It's real. The science in the book is real. The biblical plot is real. And it takes readers on the journey. There are so many 5-star reviews out there that people are saying that they just could not put it down. Hmm. But the reality of it is stunning.
Okay, again, the name of the book is The Codist. The website is thecodistbook.com. Eric Walker is the author. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. All the best to you. And
thank
I have to
so
I have to just make one quick observation. I was looking the other day at one of the photos of the Brussels airport after the bombing and all those people killed and hundreds injured. And I thought, wow, what they do, the radical Muslims, is they destroy. So the Judeo-Christian civilization builds up and the radical Muslims tear down. And it's amazing. Anyway, thecodistbook.com. Thanks so much for joining us. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.